The other day, I saw some stupid ass that pissed me the off. Who in their right mind would make a show about a family of hillbilly squids? Nobody wants to see that nasty ass. Makes me want to go and find the creator of this show and beat the dog out of their asses. You better cross the street when you see me coming. I don't play that.
Welcome back to Owls Only, the Adult Swim podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Hope, and I am with someone who hasn't been on the show in a while. It's my roommate and best friend, Alex.
Hello, I'm back.
Okay, so we are talking about Squidbillies. It's a very, very, very important show to Adult Swim lore, and I asked a lot of people to come on this episode. Every single one of them said no.
Wait, why did they say no?
I don't know. We'll get into it.
Okay.
So, this show, basically, you've never seen this show.
No, I've never. I don't even know what this show's about.
Okay. Do you know, like, what do you know about Squidbillies in general?
That they're squids and that there's a grandma. All
right, that's fair.
that's, like, literally all I know.
Okay, so the format for this is going to be, I'm going to explain to you all the lore behind the show, because there is like an absurd amount of both real life and in-show lore. It's mostly real life lore, because I feel like that's the more interesting part, is like all the shit that happened behind the scenes on this show. Because when this show starts off, like, it was just kind of like an in-joke with the Bumps for a really, really long time, where they kept on saying, we're working on a show called Squidbillies. And it's like, it was like the joke that it was like a stupid thing that could never be like an actual show. And
then they released it.
Well, yeah, but it took them a while, because it starts off with, apparently, according to Mike Lazo, it said they started off as from, like, the Space Ghost era, when they're trying to come up with, like, Hanna-Barbera characters to make TV shows out of. And they came up with two Hanna-Barbera characters, Squiddly Diddly and Huckleberry Hound, whose thing is he's, like, Southern. And so they came up with the idea of just, like, redneck squid, and that's just sort of, like, went from there. And so it became, like, a side project of William Street with all the, like, original guys, like, Matt Malero, Dave Willis, who did Aqua Teen, and then, like, also worked on Space Ghost, and Jim Fortier, who works on this show and also worked on The Brack Show and went on to work on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. And also, there's plenty of other people who worked on, like, all these other Adult Swim things, like Lazo and Matt, Andy Merrill, Matt Harrigan of Fish Center Live and 12 Ounce Mouse fame. Like, all these, like, Generation 1 people were working on this show from the beginning, and they all say there's a really good bonus feature on the first DVD where it's just them. It shows off like five scripts from the pilot, and they're going over it and talking about like five vastly different scripts, because apparently they wrote over 100 drafts of this pilot because they just could not get it right.
How long? Like, when did they start making the show?
I don't know. But I think they started in, like, early 04, and it premieres in, like, late 05.
Okay.
But that's also, like, with the William Street turnaround and how long they take to make stuff, because it does not take, like, when they're making stuff like this, like, they're making 12 Ounce Mouse on, like, a weekly basis. Like, it does not take long to, like, get a William Street show out. It's not like The Simpsons, where they're making it for, like, 9 months.
Yeah.
You know?
So the character designs, are they based on Hanna-Barbera stuff? Or
No.
Right. I figured not. I just wanted to make sure.
They pretty much just got the name from that. They got the name from the Hanna-Barbera stuff, okay. The Squiddly Diddly thing. But so Pete Smith, who has his own day at Adult Swim, it's called Pete Smith Day. They do it every year. And it's like he's on the bonus features talking about this show. And he says that him and Matt Malero wrote the pilot to be like just as disgusting as possible, so they would stop asking him to make it.
That sounds about right.
They said, quote, it was a vile script on the bonus features. And it starts off very different. All the characters' names are different. Instead of, like, because the main characters are early Kyler, who's, like, the main one, the one with the hats. And there's Rusty, his son, Granny, the grandmother.
What's the main one's name?
Early.
Okay.
And Sheriff, who's like the cop. And then they also have like a fourth squid named Lil, who's mostly just like drunk the whole time and like asleep. But okay. She's like asleep face down. And then they do a thing in like the third season where they reveal that she's face down because the entire time she's just running a meth lab like underneath the house because like...
Oh, so she's communicating with...
Yeah, her face is like in like a little hole in the house.
That's funny. Is she always in the same spot?
No, it's really not consistent.
No, I don't care.
So they start off and like it's so different. Like the characters' names are RV is the dad and Donnie is the son. There's also like a second son named Bug who sounds like Bill from King of the Hill. And it's like Dave Willis doing the voice for RV, which is supposed to be the early character. And so we can talk about, because a lot, a huge part of this show's, like, lore is the fact that right before the final season came out, they had to recast Early because his voice actor went on, like, a supremely racist rant on Facebook.
I did know that, because I always confuse him with the guy from...
That guy was at the Capitol. Unknown Henson is the guy who voiced, Early Kyler, and he was not at the Capitol. And I do want to get into this because I think that obviously he's a horrible man, and like he calls Dolly Parton a race traitor in the Facebook posts.
Oh
like
God.
They're so bad. But his voice is what made the show click, I think. Because I also think that there's a thing where people like are really into saying that it's such an easy opinion to have that like if somebody turns out to be like horrible or evil, then nothing they ever made was good. But I also think that that kind of like opinion ends up letting people make excuses for bad people who make good art. You know, like bad people can make good art.
Right. Like, no, I agree.
It's fine. Like Michael Jackson is like a pedophile, and he made like. It's true. He is. And he made like some of the best like fucking pop music. Like he was like the king of pop. Like he's the most popular musician in the world and he's a pedophile.
Right.
But like, you know, you get that attitude when people are like, this person that I love, of course they didn't do this thing because I like a show they made. Or I feel like it's okay to say that like, no, Unknown Henson's voice made this show click. And also he's a horrible racist.
Oh yeah.
So they bring him in. He's like this guy. He's kind of like fucking Dracula Flow on YouTube, where he has like a public persona where he just like dresses up like a vampire. He's got like the slick back hair and he's got like vampire teeth.
Oh, that's
in.
Not what I thought you meant by that. That's funny.
And he goes around and like plays like these like country songs and shit and this like vampire like hick persona. And they just I don't know the process of how they got him. I think they just found him in
Who was this you said?
Unknown Henson, the voice of Early.
Just making sure.
They just found him in, like, just Atlanta. But I think the cast of the show is really interesting because when they make Aqua Teen, it's like, you know, Dana Snyder, who, like, starts his career with Aqua Teen. Carrie Means, who is doing Cartoon Network voiceovers. And then just, like, Dave Willis pretty much plays everyone else. And they get Dana Snyder to play the grandma in this show.
Oh, that's funny.
And then
I didn't know that.
The rest of the cast, as soon as you, like, know it, you, like, immediately hear it. And apparently Dana was basing it off, like, this old woman you heard on the radio all the time. It's, like, the voice he's doing. But,
we're gonna have to watch at least an episode of this after this.
Yeah. So...
just so I can see.
A huge thing with, this show's cast, I think, is super, super interesting. So you have Unknown Henson, who is just, like, this... guy who's just making music in Atlanta and doing like these underground shows they probably just like found, and his voice is like pitch perfect for the character of this like Early Kyler, who's this horrible like redneck squid who just like shoots everything, is constantly like murdering his family and shit like that. It's perfect.
I do like one of the only things I can point out from this show is the main character's voice, so I agree.
And also the son Rusty, they do like a huge casting process and they end up casting a guy who Dave Willis went to high school with because he could really do like a perfect like teenage redneck sound, like teenage redneck voice, just by impersonating like the people who were like mean to them in like high school, essentially.
Right. Because they're all from Atlanta, right?
Yeah. Well, they're from
suburbs.
Yeah. Like think it's like Conyers or something. Dave Willis tells the story like a million times on several different of the special features on the DVDs, where he says that he was in, like, he went back to Conyers for like his high school reunion. He was wearing like a it was like a shirt with a collar and pumping gas, and a group of people just like drove by and yelled like the F slur at him just because he was wearing like a collared shirt in this town that he grew up in. And so that's kind of like the genesis of Squidbillies. And also that's something that I feel like is the key to why this show lasted so long, because it really resonated with the top brass at Adult Swim, because everyone who works at Adult Swim, works at William Street, has been dealing with people like this for like their entire fucking lives. And so it, like, really resonates with Lazo. I mean, Lazo worked on it, but, and I think, because this show lasts, this is one of the longest lasting shows in Adult Swim history, because every show on Adult Swim gets, like, in between 2 to 4 seasons. Even, like, major things like Metalocalypse and Super Jail and Boondocks only have, like, 4 seasons each.
Yeah, even I remember this show being there pretty much the entire time I was aware of Adult Swim.
Yeah, this show got canceled. This show starts in 2005, goes to 2021. It has 13 seasons.
Damn.
And it runs alongside Aqua Teen the whole time. And this show, when I got into Adult Swim, this was like the sister show to Aqua Teen, which is super interesting to me because this show is like very nearly forgotten, I think. And I think it's because a lot of this show really resonated with the wrong people. Because I think a huge portion of this show's fan base are just, like, actual rednecks.
Like, they don't get it.
They don't get it.
The show's making fun of them.
They don't get the show's making fun of them. Especially because, like, if
now, you... is that true? Like, in your experience in watching people talk about this, like, online and stuff?
Yes. That's what I see. Like, most Squidbillies stuff just has a million comments saying they shouldn't have fired Unknown Henson underneath it and shit like that. Okay. Or they ruined the show.
Okay. Not to make any assumptions about this Unknown Henson guy, but the show itself was making fun of him the entire time, and he just didn't realize
it. Okay, that's the thing, because I watched all of this show within the past couple months. I did a Summer of Squids, where I pretty much watched, like, the entire thing, and I noticed that, because another one of the things that he says on the show that, like, early Kyler says...
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. The thing that Unknown Henson says on Facebook in a response to a comment is, I don't like queers. And there are so...
When was he saying all this stuff?
2020.
Oh.
So this is is spurred on by, like, the Black Lives Matter protests of 2020.
Okay.
This is a COVID thing.
Damn.
But, so...
I was gonna try and give him a little bit of wiggle
room. No. So he was saying that, but so many episodes of Squidbillies are about how funny it is that Early is so, like, it's all about, like, gay panic, and how funny it is that Early's so afraid of being gay, and how, like, stupid it is that he's, like, homophobic.
So most of the early episodes?
No, a lot of the episodes in general.
Oh, word.
Like, up to, like, I think they go
like
more...
Like a critique of, like masculinity and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, they go more prevalent with it in, like, the later seasons, honestly, and, like... He's also, like, he is such a great voice actor, and he delivers, like, those lines, like, so well. It's very funny to me that he just didn't understand any of the irony, because he delivers the lines like he does get it, you know what I mean? Like, he delivers them, and he's, like, making Early, like, this, like, fucking, like, emasculated, like, little cuck with, like, his voice, and it's so interesting to me that he just never... really understood, like, what the show was, like, doing and making fun of him.
Yeah.
But,
maybe he did, and he was just happy to get paid, either way.
I don't know. But, I've also noticed a lot of the, special features are, like, Comic-Con and Dragon-Con panels with him, and he always just looks like he's not having as much fun as
everyone
else
like,
there.
He's, like, fucking lost.
Yeah.
At Comic-Con.
Yeah. So I'm going to go through more, because I think on, like, Saturday, I sat down and watched, like, these pilot scripts, which were, like, the whole thing with all the...
Was it just, like, a reading of the scripts?
Yeah, it was, like, readings of the scripts, and also there was, like, a bunch of, like, vignettes beforehand of, like, Matt Harrigan and Mike Lazo and Pete Smith talking about the show.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of Adult Swim DNA in here. Like, do you know about Old Kentucky Shark?
I do not think so.
So he's like a clip art of a shark from C-Lab.
Yes.
Yes.
But go on.
He's the villain in 12 Ounce Mouse, but like they call him Old Kentucky Shark in the Space Ghost episode, and he's in the Aqua Teen for like one time.
Well, that's the shark from the episode where they get stuck in the cave in C-Lab, right?
No. That's a different thing.
Oh.
Somehow
that's a different shark. The one that I'm thinking of.
Yeah. No. This is
I believe you. I'm just saying.
This is the shark from 12 Ounce Mouse.
Okay.
But, like, in one of the scripts, they mention, like, Kentucky Shark and stuff like that. Like, Kentucky Shark is, like, patrolling the woods. Because when the show does eventually get made, the show is very much about, like, just a redneck town taken to the extreme, and there is like supernatural and like stuff going on like that, but it's really like not that fantastical. It's just kind of like a shittier version of like the Aqua Teen world.
Now, are they living in like a trailer park, like or like a similar area, or like
they live in rural Georgia? They live in like a shack. They have like a little shack. Right, they live
so
in.
It's not like the suburbs.
No, they have like a shack they live in. It's just like surrounded by like mud.
Gotcha.
And so,
Jesus.
But like a lot of the early pilots have like this weird thing where they have like an enchanted forest outside their house, and there's like a king and queen that they like deal with. It's super interesting at seeing all these.
Wait, like, that was across more than just one of the.
Yeah, that's across like a bunch of them. Because like, I feel like they also intentionally make it so that you can't tell what order they're showing the pilots in, because the first one is just about them going to a Chinese restaurant, and then it gets like progressively like weirder, and they go back around, and they go back to making it, like, more normal, but, like, a lot of the things, like, Lazo was saying, that they really did feel like writing this pilot seems impossible. Also, fucking, you know that very famous, like, it's, like, from, like, the last episode of Aqua Teen, when the show ended in 2015, with the Bibble joke?
Yes.
Yeah, that was, like, a vine?
Yes.
That's in one of these pilots, like, the Bibble, I mean, it's just, like, you know, I'm sure people have called the Bible the Bibble before, but, like, that's in these in these pilots, which is,
so maybe the same people, so.
Yeah, which is fun that they're, like, had this joke for so long. But anyways, so they're making this pilot for forever, and they're hyping up a premiere in November 2004 on the bumps. They're like, all right, this is it, we're finally gonna release Squidbillies, like, it's real, we swear to God it's real. And the episode starts, and it's the first episode of Perfect Hair Forever, which...
Oh, that's terrible.
Which nobody knew at the time that... Nobody knew what Perfect Hair Forever was. That was a new show, too. So it was, like, the series premiere of Perfect Hair Forever. And then following it up was something called Anime Talk Show, which was a talk show with Space Ghost, Meatwad, Early, and Sharko from C-Lab 2021.
Okay.
And Early, like... It's definitely Unknown Henson doing the voice, but he, like, barely speaks throughout the whole thing. It's really weird, because, like, I feel like at any other time they would have had him be, like, super vocal and, like, yelling and screaming and shit, but, like, he just, like, is barely talking, and it's very interesting, because I wonder, like, how much they had of his personality, like, down at that point. But, so, yeah, the show comes out, and the basic concept of the show is that, Early is, like, this, like, horrible redneck squid. He's, like, a felon. All he does is, like, rob convenience stores and stuff, like, rob liquor stores at gunpoint. And he had sex with this, like, horrible, grotesque, like, Jabba the Hutt-esque woman who just, like, I don't think we start seeing her, like, indoors until, like, the later seasons. Most of the time we see her name is Crystal. She's just, like, laying sideways
on a... I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, she's just laying sideways on a mattress in, like, a trash dump.
I forgot about her.
We, like, rarely see Crystal, like, indoors until, like, the later stuff. So he, like, knocks her up, and then she gives birth to Rusty, who's just kind of, like... He's very much like the rednecks you went to high school with. You know, it's like, hey, oh yeah, boy.
I know, yes.
Like going like mudding and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like the shitty, like redneck kid you went to high school with. But they do find that the good thing about this show, and also a thing that's interesting, is that there aren't really like direct comparisons you can make between this and Aqua Teen, because it could have been really easy to make this just like Aqua Teen 2, but it's not. It's very different.
But the squids.
Yeah, but like, I think if I could compare Rusty to any character in Aqua Teen, it would be Meatwad, because he is kind of like the more innocent one, and also he's like the only good one, because Rusty does, like, surprisingly, this show starts off and it's like the meanest fucking show on the network. Like,
I believe it.
It's unbelievably cruel. Early is horrible. He's constantly like shooting Rusty or like punching Granny in the face and stuff like that. And
this is like the, just for the record, this is like the only Adult Swim show that I remember my older brother telling me he watched besides like Family Guy.
And as it goes on, they start to, like, they really do kind of start to fall in love with these characters, and they give Rusty, like, a character arc. Because Rusty, there's...
But not early.
Not early. Early stays evil to the end, but they give Rusty a character arc, because, like, Rusty, around, like, the fifth or sixth season, knocks up his half-sister, and they have a human-hybrid squid baby they name Macho Man Randy Savage.
Okay.
And... then, like, Rusty's character from that, from, like, that episode on is that he's just, like, a teen dad trying to do...
like an attentive father.
Yeah, like, he's just, like, his half-sister Tammy, he's, like, just trying to do right by her and, like, their son and stuff like that. He's always, like...
good for him.
And he's always, like, getting jobs and shit like that.
Is that Rusty?
Yeah, Rusty is... I'm holding the, because I have a merch corner for the end of the show, but I'm holding the, stress ball of Rusty right now. But, like, yeah, Rusty's arc towards the end, like, in the second half of the show is just that, like, he's just trying to be, like, a teenage father, which is very fun because I feel like, when he started off, he was almost a little bit too similar to Miwad. He was just getting abused all the time, and he was kind of like the kid of the family.
Right.
So they gave him more stuff to, and also that gives him more of a reason to like stand up to Early, and the dynamics get more defined. It is a miracle that this show went on as long as it did, and it's also really interesting because I feel like this show finds itself so much more the more that it goes on, because it kind of becomes like... the William Street, like, topical show, almost in a way that, like, South Park is, where it's about their attack, like, every season they come back, they have, like, a few topics they want to tackle. Like, one of the last season's episodes is about, like, Blue Lives Matter and shit like that.
Huh.
Like, they come up with, by the time the show gets to, like, I remember the final season, there's so many Proud Boys jokes. Like, there's so many fucking Proud Boys jokes in the final season.
Yeah, this show has gone on for a very long time.
Yeah, because it starts off as, like, you know, it's like 2005. But they also do a very fun thing that I like, where the squids are definitely racist, but they're also super racist against white people. And they call them Chalkies, which I think is very funny. I think there's like a whole arc where Rusty gets, like, really, really upset that when he finds out that he's technically half Chalky because his mom is white.
Oh, my God.
It's fun. It's really fun. They also have the sheriff, who's kind of like...
is he a squid?
No, the sheriff is like... He's kind of drawn like a 12-ounce mouse character. He's very crudely drawn. The first season, he's voiced by Charles Napier, who is this, like, character actor who voiced, like, mostly just, like, cops and, like, military guys. And he's in, like, thousands of, like, procedurals throughout, like, the 20th century and stuff like that. And he's also... in Archer for one episode. He's like the Archer's cancer doctor in the two-parter where he gets cancer. That's like his last TV role before he died. But so he plays the sheriff for the first six episodes, and I don't know why, but they get rid of him and they replace him with someone named Bobby Ellery, who plays him for the rest of the show, and he's great. He's fantastic. And they also sound very similar. So, like, I feel like you probably wouldn't know, but they also introduce a concept. It gets used a lot more early on than it does later on, where the sheriff has, like, a vegetable patch of clones. And, like, because they introduce the new voice actor.
Like he grows clones of himself?
No, because there's, like, another critter named Dan Halen, who, like, I can't even describe what Dan Halen is. I think, theoretically, he's human, but he just kind of looks like... just, like, a round little, like, ball of flesh with, like, feet and arms and, like, hair.
Okay, so they're just doing whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, but Dan Halen is kind of like the Mr. Burns of the show, where he runs, like, Early works for him, and he runs, like, a megacorp that, like, runs the town.
Okay, gotcha.
And he grows, like, the sheriff clones. But, like, because, like, the episode where they introduce his new voice actor is, he's just, like, standing there, like, the old sheriff comes up, and the new one just walks up and just beats him to death with what's the police baton? Because they never introduced the concept of the clones before that. That's how they introduce
us. Oh, that, all
just,
right.
Just a second sheriff walks out and just fucking murders the other one and takes his place. Sheriff. Yeah, and then they reveal, like, the other, like, several different sheriffs. And they also have, over the like first couple seasons, they introduce like a little deputy for him to have, which is like a smaller, more fucked up version of himself. Or like his like it's called Deputy Denny, and he's voiced by Dave Willis doing like a super high pitched voice, and like his head is caved in, and like one leg is like is like obnoxiously bigger than the other. Denny is possibly like the best character on the show. I think he's really, really fucking funny. And so they just find all this stuff to do with these characters. They do kind of the thing that I've noticed a lot with a lot of adult animated comedies, where they build out like a whole town full of characters. And because like even like More Laurel does that,
just, like, cycle between.
Yeah, but also like a town. You know what I mean? Like Springfield, like Simpsons, where it's like they have a whole town of characters they can.
I know. I hear what you're saying.
Like. The Aqua Teens have reoccurring characters, but for the most part, it's just, like, in their neighborhood, and, like, whatever section of South Jersey they live in, it's just, like, the Aqua Teens and Carl. But, like, the Squids have, like, a priest. They have, like, a pastor, and there's a guy who runs, like, the liquor store that Early's always robbing, and there's, like, people who run... They introduce, like, Walmart later on in the show. And there's, like, another...
Is it just called Walmart?
It's called Ballmart. But there's another whole episode where they're, like, selling Confederate... Like, they stop selling Confederate flags at Ballmart. And the Squids get super pissed off. And they get, like, a history lesson where it's, like, Squids were, like, the ultimate slaves. And so, like, they've been, like, oppressed by more than anything by, like, the Confederate...
So they know...
But they still don't care. No, they're still into the Confederate flag and
that
shit.
That is a very funny way to end that.
Yeah. yeah, this show is like they also, like I said, the fourth squid, the kind of lost one, is Lil. And her thing is that she's just kind of like a meth head, and she's covered in like grotesque looking like makeup, and she has like these horrible like fake nails and all that shit. She's supposed to be Early's sister. And for how dark this show gets, they do several gags where Early just thinks about, like, fucking her. And, but
that's like, the least surprising thing you told me so far about this show.
Yeah, there are also gags where he tries to fuck Granny. Yeah, it gets, like, this show, and I think this is the reason...
His mom and his sister dog?
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why this show is probably not as, like... beloved as Aqua Teen, despite them being made by the same people and having, like...
Because they don't do that in Aqua Teen.
Well, I mean, Aqua Teen is also gross and disgusting and things like that, but I want to talk about it.
I know.
Because Aqua Teen has, like, a revival... It's like a revival fan base on Twitter, and I've seen so many people posting, like, fan art of, like, their, like, self-shipping with Master Shake.
Oh, like, themselves? Imagine. Yeah. That's funny.
And stuff like that, and people, like... People love, like, Aqua Teen is getting, like, a bit of a resurgence in, like, those circles.
Did they bring it back yet? In any capacity?
I mean, they brought back the 5 episodes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But not since then. Currently, there are no plans to bring it back, but, like, it's gonna come back.
Word.
Like, I don't see that being the end of Aqua Teen. But, like, people love Aqua Teen, and it only continues to get found by more people, especially because people are looking for something after Smiling Friends Season 2 ended, so a lot of people gravitating over to Aqua Teen. And it's very interesting to see that, because those shows have very similar senses of humor, but Squidbillies does not catch on with anybody, and Aqua Teen has caught on with a lot of people, and I think a lot of that is because...
I think it's more niche?
I think it's more niche because of the appeal, because a lot of it is...
very harsh, making fun of.
I think it's. I mean, we live in the South, kind of. We live like right on the Mason-Dixon line. Yeah. So like we've definitely
we know the type.
Yeah, like we know the type, but also like we don't live in like the super super deep South.
No.
But this show really appeals to people who live around or have lived around those people. So I can see people living, like, in other countries or living in, like, the northern half of the country not really, like, finding this show that funny or that engaging. But also I think the character dynamics have a lot to do with it, because I didn't like this show for a really long time. Like, I knew it was important.
The reason I never tried to watch it is it just didn't look appealing, like, I'll be honest.
I knew it was important, and I liked everyone behind it, but I always... A lot of it when I was younger, it just made me feel kind of bad, and I think that's part of it, because a huge thing, too, is that...
It's too mean?
It's very... Yeah, it's almost too mean. And on Aqua Teen, they kind of get away with it, because the Aqua Teens, like Master Shake, Frylock, Meatwad, and Carl, they are all equals. I mean, like, Meatwad's definitely, like, stupid and kind of supposed to be, like, the younger one.
Yeah, but he's still doing shit.
Yeah, but, like, Meatwad also gets one over on Shake constantly. Like, there's two examples I'm thinking of is there's an episode where they both start, like, sports betting, and Meatwad just keeps getting, like, more and more money, and Shake keeps losing, and Meatwad's wearing, like, fucking, like, Jordans and, like, a big chain and, like, commanding, like, these big, like, mafia guys to, like, break Shake's, like, fingers and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then also, one of the last episodes of the show is about Carl's mom going through hospice, and she...
Jesus Christ.
And then, no, but then she... Frylock gets, like, a rare, like, herb to save her life, and even though Carl desperately doesn't want him to, Carl wants him to let her die so you can, like, max out her credit cards. But,
Yeah, that's relaxing.
But she, so she's, like, fine at the end, but she's, like, about to burn Carl at a stake with a bunch of these other, like, kind of racist depictions of, like, indigenous people. But Carl's like, I love you, Ma! I love you! And then she just, like, stops, looks at him for a second, and then just tosses the flame on him and burns him alive. And the Meatwad goes, I love you too, Shake. And then also, then, like, pulls out a torch he had from nowhere, lights Shake on fire, and goes, I love your ass hard! And then, like, smashes the credits.
The fucking right before the credits of Aqua Teen are the best part.
Yeah, it's they do that in this show a lot too, where they get like the best,
the funniest joke.
They get like the best joke in like smash cut to the credits.
Yeah.
This show also has like an insanely good credit sequence, but like what I was saying is I think that like in Aqua Teen they're always constantly getting one over on another. Like Shake is never always winning over Meatwad. Like Meatwad gets back at him like half the time at least. And also they're roommates. They're not like, I mean, they're kind of a weird little family, but they're not, like, literal... There's no, like, literal, like, family dynamic
right,
there.
Right.
Whereas Squidbillies is early
father
is...
Father and son.
Yeah, early is, like, the abusive drunk dad who is, like, you know, shooting his son and, like, punching the grandmother in the face.
Yeah, that's a lot more jarring than,
and
like,
it's
roommate.
Yeah, it is, like... I feel like it is harder to, like, get into. I mean, I've watched it. I've definitely, like... appreciated a lot more like dark comedy, darker stuff from Adult Swim, especially because this show is very similar to Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell. But like I said, that show, I feel like
that show is great.
Yes,
well, it's not to say this one's not. I haven't seen it, but
Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell is like kind of what they like. There is a time period where like Aqua Teen's Pretty Face and Squidbillies are running at the same time. But Pretty Face is, like, that was another show where I was kind of, like, not super, like, really into it, even though I still watched it, because it was so mean. I just felt so bad for Gary. But that's when I was, like, 15.
Fair enough.
So,
I don't know. I fucking love that show.
I love it new. Like, I love it now. Like, I've got, like, we're back to it, and we were in college, and we watched all of it, and, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the first time I had watched it.
Like, we fell in love with that show. I love that show still. I'm constantly rewatching it.
I do remember the ads for it, though, when it, like, first came out.
Yeah, me too. That's when I first get into Adult Swim, is when Pretty Face, like, just starts. So, yeah, like, Pretty Face Is Going to Hell, fantastic fucking show, and this is, like, very similar to that, but also Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell has that... They're, like, co-workers, and also, like... They're all, like, assholes.
Yeah, they're also, like, fucking demons.
Yeah, and so, like, it's like, you don't feel as bad for them. But you do, like... And the show also wants you to kind of feel bad for Rusty, too, which is, like, part of it. And, which is also part of the arc of the show, is that they get, like, better over time. And, like, Lil is the name of the fourth one, the sister. I remember I was going with this. This is me going through, like, a million tangents that I have written down.
Don't worry, bro.
Lil is like, her arc is that she ends up like kind of getting away from it at the end, because she,
the meth dealer.
Yeah. She gets away. She kind of gets away from it all because, I mean, she's actually making, it's more weed. Like when that episode, when she's like commanding him through the floor, it's more like weed.
Sure.
But, she also does constantly do meth, but, cause she's like not really as bad as the rest of them. She's just kind of, like, high all the time and shit like that.
Yeah.
But they also have no idea what to do with her. So she's more prevalent in the early stuff. And once they hit, like, season 7, she appears, like, maybe once a season. Like, she is never there. They never have anything to do for her. And then, like, in the last season, there's a bit where they, like, go to her house, and she's, like, living with, like, another person. And she said she's, like, clean, off drugs. But then...
Good for her.
Yeah, but then Early leaves, like, a can of paint thinner, and the last shot is her just grabbing it and pulling it into the house. So, you know. But yes, like, Lil, also, there is a
action... You said paint thinner?
Yeah. Lil, there is an action figure of her. She is one of the kid robots they made in the first Adult Swim series. They made Early, Granny, and Lil. So I kind of want that figure.
Not Rusty.
Not Rusty. I don't know why. I want that figure. Like, it's kind of, like, it's so grotesque, but I want it. And so also Crystal, like, Rusty's mom, she's also very redundant. A lot of the time is because of, like, the way she's drawn, they can't really have her leave that, like, mattress she's always on. Later her thing becomes that she's always working at the Walmart, and she's in, like, the mobility scooter with, like, the Walmart vest on.
Oh my god.
This show is also about, like, this show, and also another thing that does this a lot is Metalocalypse, is about just, like, pure hatred for the average American, which
I was gonna say, like, show this to someone in Europe, and they're just gonna think that, like, they'll just interpret it as making fun of America.
Yeah, but also, they'll probably interpret it as satire, too, and a lot of it isn't.
True.
Like, this show, and I think Metalocalypse, too, has a lot of fun with showing, like, the average American citizen to be the most, like, disgusting creature you've ever seen in your entire life. Like, that's a lot of the humor of Metalocalypse and this show, which I do think is kind of jarring to get into, because a lot of both this show and Metalocalypse are, like, super, super, super violent. But, so yeah, this show is, like, so important because there are really, really good compilations of, like, bumps and promos for this show, both on YouTube and on the DVDs themselves. And, like, they did, like, DVD signings and stuff like that across Georgia. And also they would, they're just bumps where they're like, people need to start watching this show. It's brilliant. And you can tell that, like, it really did exist because Lazo liked it. Like, I think it's a fantastic, really, really funny show.
Yeah. But how long did it last after Lazo left?
1 year.
Okay.
Well, I mean, like, Lazo leaves 2019, and then the show airs its final season in 2021.
You saying that made me think.
Yeah, and also, it's the same thing with the Venture Brothers. Like, because I also don't want to say that it's Lazo keeping it alive is a bad thing, because Lazo also kept alive the Venture Brothers, which is the best show ever, like, of all time. And
which we finished, by the way.
Yes, I did make Alex watch the Venture Brothers.
I like it.
And so, like, it's just, like, a fact where I think that, like, I don't think the show really ever hit the mainstream like Aqua Teen did, but also they just packaged them together a lot on the show. Because I remember there's a...
Well, even I kind of associate them together.
Yeah, because they would air them back-to-back, new episodes often.
They're both 11 minutes, right?
Yeah, they're 11 minutes, air them back-to-back. The promos would often be, like 2-in-1. And then another thing with the show is, like, this is also stuff that, like, nobody knows about, but it's famous to me. There's, like, a famous, to me, iTunes collection called Watching is Better Than Living that has, like, it's, like, a collection of, like, four of their, like, big flagship shows. It comes out in, like, 2012. Or, like, it comes out right before Rick and Morty.
What's it called?
Watching is Better Than Living.
Okay.
Because Rick and Morty is not on it, but it comes out, like, so it comes out right before Rick and Morty. It's the first episode of the Venture Brothers, the Video Ouija episode of Aqua Teen, a random episode of Metalocalypse, and a random episode of Squidbillies. So they consider that, like, one of, like, their anchor shows.
Yeah.
When they were making, because it was, like, a little, like, here, pay $5, get, like, a hour's worth
little
of
DVD.
Like, hour, yeah. Like, hour 15. No, it was an iTunes collection. It wasn't a DVD.
Oh, okay, no, sorry, I missed that part.
It was an iTunes collection where they're like, okay, pay $5, get, like, you know, an hour and a half worth of Adult Swim to watch on, like, a flight or whatever.
Yeah.
And
I actually remember you downloading Adult Swim shit to your, like, I remember you talking about that in high school.
Yeah, because that was my thing, is that when I was, like, a dumb little fucking high schooler with I didn't have the resources I have now to, like, torrent shit and, like, take shit off my spleen or, like...
Which you don't do, of course.
No, I do. and, like... Like, dude, someone, this is kind of off topic, but the star DreamCorp LLC put a poll on his Instagram story and said, "We're making bootleg DreamCorp DVDs. Put your address down and we'll ship you one."
Nice.
Like, nobody gives
your address down?
Of course, nobody gives a fuck. But, like, when I was a dumb little high schooler, I didn't have, like, the connections or the resources I have now. So, like, when something wasn't on DVD, all I could do was just, like, you know, go and buy an iTunes card and, like, buy it on, like, save it to my parents' fucking,
you were getting, like, you were getting, like, fucking X-Men movies, I remember.
A lot of those X-Men movies I got were from digital codes.
Oh, I forgot they used to do that.
They still do that.
I have watched maybe like a episode and a half of a show on my iPod, and that's it. Like, I've never watched a show.
I used to be big into that. I also, a couple of years ago, a year ago, they had like a, there was a glitch on iTunes where you could buy the entire series of the Venture Brothers for $10.
Okay.
And I was like, fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
And so I have all the Venture Brothers on iTunes.
I think I bought like one or two episodes of Bleach, and that was like
all I ever bought. I have episodes of like, I have all 12 Ounce Mouse, because like 12 Ounce Mouse and Moral Oral, that was how I really like watched and rewatched those, because I used to have an iPad back in the day. Like when I was in high school, I used to have like an iPad that I really relied on for like a lot of TV watching, especially stuff that I couldn't get on DVD. And so I just bought like the last two seasons of Moral Oral and like all 12 Ounce Mouse, and that's how I would watch those shows.
Yeah.
Or like casting them to the TV from my iPad through like the little Apple AirPlay, or like Perfect Hair Forever. Like that's the one I have on iTunes. But
word, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, that was sort of like my first phase of like, okay, how do I save these shows that I love that I can't put on DVD? But now I just, like, burn DVDs of them. But, yeah, there's so much, like, this show is so ingrained in Adult Swim. Like, they, like I said, there were bums, people that are like, hey, you need to watch this. And they also put so much effort into the marketing. And this also does, because even when I didn't like this show, I was still so in love with the marketing. Because this show does something that is very Adult Swim that I love, where they just go around Atlanta and take pictures of shit, and they just, like, turn that into their marketing.
Yeah, and they just, like, put the characters on the pictures and shit.
Yeah, like, the first DVD, like, is I've had the DVD for, like, 10 years. The first DVD, all the menus are just pictures of, like the abandoned house. Like, the band, like, this
word,
like, it's just, like, pictures of, like, abandoned houses and, like, smashed refrigerators and, like, the woods they probably just found, like, 40 minutes outside Georgia and stuff like that. And I love that kind of shit. It's like catnip to my brain. And like a lot of the bumps are like that too, where,
it's just real shit.
Yeah. Or it's just like photos and videos they took around Atlanta, because also a huge thing I'm in love with Adult Swim is its connection to Atlanta and its connection to like that city specifically. And this is one of the biggest examples of that, because so much of this show is just them like riffing on stuff they experience or run into in Atlanta.
I remember you bringing that up the last couple times we talked about the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing, did I make you watch the pilots disc, like a disc of all the pilots?
At some point in our friendship, we've watched that, but I don't remember.
Do you remember Cheyenne Cinnamon, like the CGI star?
Of course I do, yes.
So there's
we watched that in college too.
Yes. That is the worst pilot on that disc. I'm not afraid to say that. It's awful. There's funny stuff in it, but that's like the unpleasantness of Squidbillies taken to 1,000. But first, there's like a running gag in this show for the longest time where like the only piece of media that the squids consume is Cheyenne Cinnamon. I don't know why, but like
that's really fucking funny.
It is funny. There's like so many gags where like Early wakes up in the middle of the night and he's wearing like Cheyenne Cinnamon pajamas, and she's like the only thing that's ever on like their TV.
That's very funny.
And stuff like that. Like I think it's just them riffing on the fact that they really wanted to make that show and then it just like didn't get to happen. But
we're better for it.
I kind of think we're better for it. But yeah, so like I said, the show is around forever. They also, a huge part of the show is the music. Like I have right here, the vinyl they made. This is giving out the rap party of the series. Because Unknown Henson is a musician, and so he's constantly singing as early. They had
that's funny.
You know, do you remember SiriusXM? Did your parents ever have SiriusXM?
Oh, yeah. My dad was a sports guy. Of course we did.
Yeah, my parents had SiriusXM. This is because, like, this show is, like, late 2000s, early 2010s. It's, like, the peak of SiriusXM. They did, like, a special on, like, Outlaw Country Radio for, like, an hour of, like, songs from this show.
That's funny.
Yeah, but...
So did they record most of the songs, if not all of them, themselves?
Oh, yeah. And also a huge thing, too, with this show is they're constantly, like, getting new musicians to do the theme song. For the first couple seasons, I think...
Oh, you told me this the other day.
Yeah, I think around, like, seasons 7 or 8 or so, it gets to the point where every single episode has a different musician doing the theme song.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, like, every single episode, like, has... And it's mostly, like, country bands, but also they get, like, Weird Al to do it at one point, which is fun. And also, I feel like a huge draw of the show for the creators is just getting... to meet people. Like, I feel like a huge reason why they make the show so they can get, like, hey, come do this intro for our show, and you can, like, and they can just, like, meet them. And I feel like that's, like, a huge part of why they do this.
Who's the funniest person they got to do it?
The one I'm thinking of is Weird Al.
Gotcha.
They even turn one of them into, like, a major character, because there's a guy named Jesco White, who's, kind of like, a country musician, and he becomes, like, Early's canonical father, and he appears, like, up until the last episode, you know? Like, he's constantly in this show. Okay, sorry, we had to stop to get our cat to stop attacking us. okay, so, yeah, so, like, Jesco White plays, like, Early's canonical father, and he's, like, in the show up until, like, the very end, Gaga P-Pap.
Gaga P-Pap.
Yeah, and they have a lot of fun in the later seasons fleshing out, like, the lore of the Kyler family, and also the lore of how, like, the sheriff's dad also was the sheriff, and he, like, had the same run-ins with, like, Gaga P-Pap that Early has with the sheriff.
Okay, that's funny.
And this show also is how, like, I've noticed a huge thing that develops with this show as it goes on, because it starts off, and it's very similar to Aqua Teen and Space Ghost in the sense that, like, it's almost like a play where you have, like, a static background and then characters, like, move around the background. Like, so
the background's, like, real pictures? Or not real pictures, but...
No, not in this show. It's not, in Aqua Teen, they're, like, drawn...
I know they're drawn.
...drawn to look like real pictures. But I'm talking about, like, there's not a lot of camera movement in Aqua Teen. At least not until the second movie, because, And Squid starts off that exact same way, where it's, like, static characters moving around a background, because a lot of it's just, like, moving computer assets. But as the show goes on, they start developing, like, they start getting more and more creative with their camera movements, and they start there's like a Halloween episode where like halfway through, like 5 minutes in, it starts looking like it's fucking Snow White or something with how, like, fluid and that's vivid cool. The animation is. It's because they're doing, like, an action thing. And they do that, like, a couple times where they do, like, they really do start to, like, build up the look of this show. And I feel like it's sort of them, they kind of do the same thing with the second Aqua Teen movie. Like, because, like, we're in Aqua Teen, it jumps from, like, the last season of Aqua Teen looks like the first season. And then the second movie comes out and it looks, like, completely different because they have, like, storyboards and they can actually, like, move the camera and the characters can have more than, like, 5 poses.
Right.
And with Squidbillies...
They're not just assets.
Yeah, Squidbillies, they do that, but they does it, like, a very, very, like, gradual thing. They did, this is kind of related to that, but not really. I just wanted to talk about it.
Sure.
There's an episode about Rusty finding a stray dog. And the end of the episode is that Early and Granny kill it and eat it for Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay.
And, like...
That sounds about right so far.
And, but, like, it's unbelievably upsetting because they take so much time to make it look and act like a real dog. And then, like, when they show it, like, roasted like a Thanksgiving, it's like, eyes are open. It's got, like, fucking bloodshot eyes and shit. Oh, my God. It's horrifying. But here's the best part. It cuts to credits... And it says, like, R.I.P. Biscuit. And it's one of the people who worked on it. It was one of their real fucking dogs. Jesus. So
it was like, oh, wow.
I don't know if he just like, I don't know if that was his decision or if they did it just to fuck with him. But that is insane.
I would hope it was his decision.
Yeah, that's fucking insane. I remember seeing that episode live and being like, Jesus. But when I watched it this time, I knew it was coming. I was like, so it was funnier to me now that I knew it was coming. But yeah, so the big thing with this show that people know is that he got fired in 2020 for calling Dolly Parton a race traitor. And so I genuinely don't know if the last season was planned to be the last season, or if they were like,
because of that
and Lazo leaving, but I don't know. But they announced, okay, season 13 is going to be the last season. And they did like the show's always had so much fun with marketing up to the very end, where they did a bunch of promos where they have like different Adult Swim actors voicing over, like early, like they had, one with like Summer from Rick and Morty voicing him, and like, Space Ghost, George Lowe, Steve Bloom, who plays Spike on Cowboy Bebop, and Tom on Toonami.
Dave, actually a pretty star-studded cast for that.
Yeah,
for that gag.
Dave Willis just doing like his Meatwad voice and shit like that. Like they had like a lot of those. And so then they eventually announced that they're replacing him with Tracy Morgan.
Yes.
So
I remember when that happened.
Tracy Morgan becomes the voice of early Kyler for the last season, and I think it's really funny. I think he does a great job. I mean, obviously, like,
is there any attempt to sound like?
No, okay. It's just Tracy Morgan sounding exactly like Tracy Morgan.
That's funny,
and it works because it's a joke. Because it's like, all right, this is the last 10 episodes of this show. Like, is this going to be Tracy Morgan? It's fine. Yeah, shut up. Who cares? Yeah, like, just get this over with. But this show also takes care to end in like a genuinely sweet way, where it ends with it almost reminds me of Disenchantment. I'm gonna get into major Disenchantment spoilers here. So Disenchantment ends with Lucy, the little demon voiced by Eric Andre. Mm-hmm. He like dies for real, saving everybody. So it ends with him like in heaven, and that's like the end for his character. And then Bean, the main character, runs away with her mermaid girlfriend, and that's like the end of Disenchantment.
Based.
And this show almost does like a similar thing where Granny dies for real, and it's like they do it. It's like upsetting. She's like mid saying, she's like ah, and like falls over dead. It's like
she just like has a realistic death for the bit.
Yeah, and it, like it's her like face like cracks. It's like horrifying.
Oh my god!
So Granny dies for real, and then Rusty decides that it's finally time for him to like leave this shitty county, and he leaves. Tries to leave with his girlfriend or like his baby mama. They're not really dating, but they decided to start dating at the end of the show.
Yeah.
His baby mama Tammy and their son, Macho Man Randy Savage, and they steal Early's truck, and Early like tries to set up spike strips, but they avoid it, and the sheriff lets them get away, and they escape from the town. And like the last scene is like a flash forward where it shows like they have like 10 more kids, Rusty gets like a real job, and Early just like comments like a bunch of crazy shit on Facebook about them, and that's the end of the show. And then like it shows the resolution is like Early is about to get them, but then Granny's ghost hits him over the head with like a frying pan.
Nice.
So they do like, it's really weird how they do give like this show does evolve into something where it has like a pretty like, there's jokes in it obviously, but it's like a pretty serious like series finale. Like I feel like even when Aqua Teen did their serious series finale, it was a joke because they did a real like final episode like a week after that that's all just like shitposts.
Right. No, okay, I remember that.
And but like I don't think Aqua Teen would ever go as sincere as they really do go with Rusty in this final episode. But yeah, I just think it's a super important show for Adult Swim lore. I think, well, the reason why it's reminded me of Disenchantment is because, like, a fan favorite who has died a bunch of times dies for real, and the main character, or, like, the hero, at least, escapes with, like, their love interest.
Yeah.
And also, they kind of play similar roles to, like, because Disenchantment's, like, the sister show to Aqua Teen, and this is, like, sister show to Futurama, and Squids is, like, the sister show to Aqua Teen, and both Futurama and
That is true. That's another parallel.
Yeah, like Futurama and Aqua Teen are two like my favorite shows of all time. And I like Disenchantment and Squids a lot, but also it's more for like the relationship they have with those other shows that I like more. And so I do want to end this by doing like a merchandise section. Because
go for it, bro.
This show has like a really, really good
our cat is obsessed with all of the stuff around us. So one second.
This show has like a really, really good like variety of merchandise. Of course, it's all like super rare, but the DVDs are great. I think the DVDs are all like
all
the
DVDs.
Yeah, I have all the DVDs right because I
volume one a DVD.
Yeah. Hell yeah, I'll watch it on CRT.
I mean, they're all DVDs. They never made Blu-rays of this show.
Oh, word.
I own every Adult Swim DVD ever. So, like...
At least all the American ones, right?
Yeah. I own, like, every Adult Swim DVD, so, yeah. But, like, all the DVDs are fantastic. Like, the art in them is so fun. Like, one of them is just, like...
I really like that. First one.
Like, yeah, like, super realistic pictures of the squids and stuff like that. Like, they're all so, so fun. And then, they released a vinyl record, which I have here, which is at the... They released this at the Rat Party, apparently, according to someone on Instagram when I posted this.
Say rat?
Rap.
Okay.
Like, the
okay,
rap no, party no, for the entire
sense.
Show.
That makes sense.
They released, like a squish ball of Rusty they sold on SE on Adult Swim, which I have. And they also have the early bottle opener, which is on SE on Adult
which
Swim.
Which I have used many times.
Yes, that's been our bottle opener for, like, a very long time. They made Kidrobots. Like, the first series has, like, early Granny and Lil, like I said. They made a second early later on with, like, the revamped series they did. And then also, the big thing that I've been super looking for is they made, like, plushes of this show. They made, like, four, like, shitty little plushes of early Rusty, Granny, and the Sheriff. And I want them, like, so bad, but they're, like, impossible to find. Like, they never, ever, ever pop up on eBay. There's one listing, and it's some asshole selling it for, like, $1,000. And it's like, come on,
what
be
is
serious.
It? What did you say it was?
The plushes. Like, the plushes of the four main characters. And it's like, that's
a you'll buy it someday.
Yeah, that's a huge thing with Adult Swim collecting in general that I'm going to talk about, because if you do this, you're an asshole. People will hold on to merch for, like, 5 years. Like, there are people holding on to merch from As Seen on Adult Swim, and, like, no, this pin set is worth $250. It's like, go fuck yourself. No, it's not. Like,
right.
You're just, like, nobody's going to pay that, and you can't even negotiate with these people, because they're like, no, I'm not going to negotiate with you. And it's, like, the same thing, too, where, like, the most egregious example to me is, they did some, like, 12-ounce mouse notebooks that I didn't buy because they're just, like, Redbubble shit.
Sure.
Where it's just, like, a picture of Fitz on a notebook, and it's like, that looks like Redbubble. Like, I can make that. I don't want, like, I'm not going to, I didn't even spend the $5 on that.
Right.
And they're selling those for like $70 on eBay, and it's like, go fuck yourself, dude.
That's funny.
And people do this all the time, and I don't know, I just hate it. Like,
I collect fucking Pokemon games, so I understand.
It's so much it's so much more respectable to me to just put it up for like a bid and just let other people determine the price.
Yeah.
But like, no, there's like a whole like repertoire of Adult Swim shit that has been on eBay for years and years and years and years, that's like hundreds of dollars for like stuff that they got for like $5, and they're never going to sell it. Like, nobody's ever going to fucking buy that, and they refuse to negotiate with anybody. And if you're listening to this and you do this, you're an asshole. So that's pretty much all I have for Squidbillies. I just wanted to go over the insane lore the show has, because like I said, like it's but also the last thing, there's a statue of Early they dedicated in the final season, and like I think it's like called like a it's in like Elijah, Georgia or something.
Oh, like a real statue.
Yeah, like a real statue in like Georgia.
I may have seen it. Or like I may have seen pictures of it.
Yeah. Like it's like a real statue. And
that's
it's
so funny.
Yeah, it's just there. And there's so much fun real life lore to this show. Like I said, it starts off with them doing the Perfect Hair Forever fake out, and then that may have been April Fool's. That may have been their first April Fool's joke. Actually, no, mustaches was the first. That was, like, the second April Fool's joke, was the squid's fake out.
Gotcha.
The show is so important to Adult Swim and to William Street and to, like, all this stuff. I am glad that I watched it. I think that it's a much better show than I ever gave it credit for. And I don't think it'll ever return, though. I can't see them wanting to make... You know, you can tell they loved making this show.
Yeah, why would they make more?
But I don't think they're ever going to make more. I think, like, they're just going to focus on, like, Aqua Teen if they do more stuff. Or hopefully, there's supposedly an hour-long script for Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell finale special that they did a table read for.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I want to see that so bad.
Animated or...
live action.
Awesome.
I want to see that so, so, so bad.
Same.
But that's probably like one of my number one top projects I want to see from Adult Swim is what, like
your
that
pretty
Your Pretty Face finale special. It'll probably never happen, unfortunately. But I would love to just like read that script. Like I want to just read that. I also want to read Doc and Jackson's like notes for like Venture Brothers season 8. I just want to read those so bad. But So yeah, that's pretty much all I have for Squidbillies. I don't know what I'm going to do next. It might be Dream Corp. It could be Psycops. Depends on who I get. But you can follow me on Instagram at adult_swim_merch_archive. I've posted everything that I talked about in here that I own. You can follow me on Twitter at @MouseFitzGerald without the D. And listen to this podcast. I was already listening to it. That's pretty much it. Do you have anything you want to plug?
No, but thanks for listening, guys.
All right. See you guys next time.